saw you touch it.
I returned the screen so she could.
Anyway, I think it's a beautiful sign, and I happen to be an Aries, which is awesome. To me, this is the worst sign, but that's where our moon is right now. So these two would be
Scorpio.
Combative, House of Dan, right? See where his foot is, and look where this foot is. I just think that's so interesting how Father placed that in the heavens. And is this Hercules with the 12 labors?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about mythology to talk about it, really. And, of course, this is the one being in the heavens, Ophiuchus, which was not his earthy name. He was a Greek doctor that actually lived. He's the only being in the heavens that was not pointed to as mythological. So I think that's most, he was a healer. So that, again, we have a type of Christ. If you could see these houses, how interesting they are and progressive as we grow, spiritually speaking, knowing who we are is so important. And that comes through the Christ, who is the sheep or the lamb nature. And I was going to say, we picture the lamb as a little lamb somebody's holding, you know, especially this time of year with today being Easter or resurrection. But that little bitty lamb grows up, and as it grows, it becomes a mighty force, which is a ram. And the nature of the ram is altogether more combative and blah blah than the infant lamb. So a lot of people think if you're an Aries, you're just supposed to get down and or squat or get on your knees. Well, haha, got news for you, all of us. There's another side. We become ram tough, like the truck. Anyway, I think it's interesting how Father line this up. In Christ, we become the house of I am. I know, when I know who I am, I'll know who you are. And by the way, that song we sang last, I think we were somewhere near Rokas when he wrote that song. And I got to hear him sing it the first time. He sang it to us, or maybe it was Barbara and Carolyn, I'm not sure, but I remember the song because I thought, my goodness, all those beautiful words. Anyway, and then we move from the house of I am to the house of I have. This is, it's called the money sign, but it also is making us understand who we are and what our not natural possessions are, but our gifts are as people. Each of us get here with certain gifts. I know this. We just come here with certain things that are not an issue, and other things are a great issue. So, okay, what we got here? Is this communication? Okay, the house of, we move from the house of I am to the house of possessions, our understanding who we are, to learning how do I think, how do I function, how does my mind work, and am I able to let the same mind be in me that's in Christ Jesus? But the big word there is let. That means we have something to say about it. We kind of have to move that old mind out of the way and allow the light to shine on the path of our understanding. Else, we deal in versus self-righteous. Okay. This is, to me, the most beautiful house. It's the house of Cancer, or I feel. It's the house of home and family. And so, understanding our own feelings, and I have to ask myself often even, why do I feel this way? And is that feeling productive for others around me? Does it, you know, fit in with the family? Does it make for any joy or happiness? Or is it the glue, you know? Okay, and then we come to the house of, it says the house of our will.
Creativity.
Creativity.
Leo.
Fifth house. Oh, yes. Well, if you don't know any Leos, they know how to create. I'll tell you that. Sometimes good and sometimes bad. Okay, and then we move to the house. The sixth house is I analyze. And Virgos are very analytical, if you know any. They'll take things apart and look at it, and they're very stable. They're much like a Capricorn, and they don't like to be disturbed. I didn't know I was going to do this, but I'll try if I can read them. The house of what?
Partnerships and marriage.
I believe, yes, the seventh house.
High balance.
Yeah, that's Libra, the house of marriage. And after all, that's why Jesus came. He wanted to marry, he married humanity that they might not only live in their humanity, but in their divinity. That was the big thing he was looking for, because people knew how to be negatively human, but they did not know how to be divine. And I'm not so sure we know how to be divine yet, but we need to learn that, because ego can quickly get in that place. Okay, and we come to Scorpio, the eighth house of regeneration. And it goes back to I desire, and then we can tie that together with Reuben. What got him in trouble was he was looking at his stepmother, I don't think he was so much looking at her beauty, although the scriptures and histories say those women were knocked down, drug out, gorgeous, whatever all that is. But he was looking at her pitifulness, because she was full of fear and all the negative things. So in his mind, and we all do this, well, you're not doing nothing about this, God, so I'm going to step in here. So we're doing the same thing Reuben did, because our desire overrides the Father's desire in the situation. And we're very deceived by that, because we get self-righteous about those things. Well, I know this is right, so I'm going to blah, 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 and we make all our cases and lie to ourselves. Okay, and this is the house of mental exploration. It means I see. It's Sagittarius, and it's a fire sign. This is the house where the guy has the quiver on the back. And if you talk to any Sagittarius, I'll never forget a lady was here that we all know, and I won't say names because this CD will go around the world. But anyway, a lady we knew, and she happened to be a Sagittarius. And the conversation, she was trying to prove her points. So she kept pulling arrows out of her quiver to make her point. But it wasn't a spiritual time, so it was wasted. But the Sagittarians love have a point to make. Okay, this is the house of career and public standing. This is Capricorn, the tribe of Naphtali. It's one of the cardinal crosses. There are four cardinal crosses in the zodiac, being Aries, Cancer, Capricorn. What's the other one, Morgan? It's one more.
Libra.
Yes, Libra's a cardinal cross. Okay. Okay. This is also the house of stability. And its name is I Use. Doesn't mean they use people, but they take situations and know how to turn them around sometimes. Okay, then we move down to Aquarius, the house of I Know, or the house of friends and hopes and wishes. This is the tribe of Reuben. It's on a fixed cross. Okay, that about covers it till we come to Pisces, which is the last cross, the house of secrets and self-undoing. It's the house of I Believe. If you study a Pisces, if you know any, you can watch that unfold, the house of self-undoing. It's a tribe of Simeon, but it's dualistic hearing, spiritually speaking. Okay, we have all of these in us. We may be born under a certain sign that we're working in or things out of, so to speak. And I actually believe we come back for purposes. In my prayer life, some time ago, I don't remember when exactly, the Father spoke to me that I would remember this life. And I thought, well, I hope that's good. Because some of my other lives I may have lived, and I'm not saying absolutely, but I'm pretty sure I was not happy with myself. I could see that in some of the deja vu things that happened. So, and I'm not gonna say that this life I'm all satisfied. But I have made some strides in this life, that I know, spiritual strides, which I really needed to make, desperately. Some made some, and some I haven't made. So do you get a more of a picture of that as I go through it and explain? I think it's very interesting how it develops and how it comes under the 12 tribes. Now, the house of death and life or regeneration I desire, this house is also the 13th house. I'm not sure I can explain all that they call the 13th house. Do you remember all that?
For the past couple thousand years, the church has instigated a systematic rethinking of everyone. Prior to Pope Gregory, every single country and every single tribe, every single people had 28-day months, and there were 13 of them.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, you know, man's meddling with things. And they've also systematically made 13 a bad number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, because it's one of them things, it's kind of drilled into you from the time that you're wee.
Yes.
So, was that God or man? I think that was probably man.
Well, I think it'd help if we did this. If we remember in the tabernacle here how they camped on the east, it traveled first, right? The east always traveled first. Judah, send Judah first, and the battle will be won. Judah camped in the middle, Issachar, and Virgo camped on the east, and they traveled first. And second was the south, and that's the camp of Reuben, Pisces, Reuben, Simeon, help me with Aries, Gad. On the west, we have Manasseh, Ephraim. It's the camp of Ephraim, but remember, Ephraim does not become a part because God called that tribe the rebellious heifer. So Ephraim is left out, and Joseph, the father of Ephraim, takes his place. So we have Joseph, Manasseh, who was Joseph's son, and Benjamin, the 12th son. Then over here on the side of mentalities, our stinking thinking, is the camp of Dan, and he's the one that gets ejected, so to speak, or Scorpio. And his name means judgment. We have Dan. We have Asher, who is Sagittarius. Dan, who is Scorpio. And Naphtali, which is Capricorn. So Naphtali and Asher kind of have to keep that together. And it's a good thing that Dan is flanked by them because of their nature and what they expect, and he is left out in this, as well as Ephraim. Those two get left out. Levi camps right here around, all around the priesthood tribe camped inside to protect the tabernacle, take it up, put it down, all they have the understanding of it, so that as we grow, each person can be a priest. Anyway, does that make a little more sense when you see that when I'm talking about the 13 tribes, how that worked? Levi takes Dan's place, the priesthood tribe, and I think that's beautiful. And of course, Joseph takes Ephraim's place, so we're back to 12 tribes. But it's all a moving thing, an ongoing circumstance. Since it's Easter Sunday, I kind of wanted to look up the word resurrection because I had done it before. Jesus did not say, I am going to be the resurrection and I'm going to be the life. While he was walking, breathing before he was resurrected, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said it several times before he was ever resurrected. I think that's pretty interesting. And resurrected means to stand up again. So it's like the second time. It's not just being born, but it's being born again, standing up the second time. Will the real Johnny stand up? Because the little baby Johnny's not Johnny. But the real Johnny is that divine thing that lives within each and every man. But the person, I feel like it's up to us to make our calling and election sure. Every man has a say. We don't have to have it. He does not make us. He did not want robots. I keep wanting to shout that to people, especially in religion. He didn't make us. He lets us choose. I think that's What kind of God would it be that made you? That's what we do. We take things and fashion them ourselves.
I've just noticed something. And I know that you copied this out of a book, but perhaps it's not totally right.
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, so if we start with this house, which is the I Am, which is divine self-awareness, next I would have to say that anything that you have desired, otherwise you wouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps that should be I Desire. So there's your desire, I think, there's your mind, I feel, there's your emotions, and I will, there's your will. So first you have self-awareness, and then you work into these things.
Mm-hmm. And then it works,
then it works all the way around, because you begin to learn to do other things. You start to analyze your situation, try to balance your situation, and you judge your situation. And you see your situation, and you use your situation, and you know your situation, and finally you believe your situation.
I like that. I like the way you explained it. Because it goes back to Reuben again. The firstborn of Israel. What he did. It shows us immediately how we can be deceived because of what we want.
Well, and indeed we have been deceived. I mean,
yes.
You know, the whole... It's kind of like you get into the church system and they give you one tool and take away two. So, you know, the purpose of Jesus, the man coming, and the whole Christ thing has been obfuscated by the very thing that the church does and did, which was deify the man to the point that you can't reach that.
Really?
And you can't reach God except through that. So they had to make it exclusive, exclusive club.
Yes.
So that it's, at least in their minds, it's impossible to reach any kind of divinity without that highway. And I categorically refuse that. But what they did was set it up in a way where you can't get to where you want to go because you don't even have the basic understanding to know where to be. If you don't understand that you yourself in this flesh at this time on this cross of space and time are the crucified Christ. You
really?
Are divinity. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Now, you're not all that there is of it, obviously.
Oh, no.
Because all you got to do is look around. But that is the principal thing that the Christian, all religions have done it. They all do it. Every single one of them that I've ever studied. They tear away humanity's divinity. They take it away from them. It's not theirs.
Yes.
They can't have it. Because if they have that, then they can actually get on this path to the truth.
Absolutely. When I woke up this morning, I was thinking of resurrection. And to me, for me, that's one of the most emotionally deepened things that has ever touched me when Mary went to the tomb. And here he's standing there, and she thinks he's somebody else because he did not appear in the form that she knew until
he spoke
her name. And the speaking of the name, which is a relationship, I mean, like you talk on the phone to your husband or whomever, you can't mistake their voice. You know the voice. So, to me, that's the most binding, beautiful thing that he spoke. He said, Mary, and immediately her spiritual awareness came, and she said, Rabboni. That's wonderful to me. And that was the resurrected man. So, I really like to hear all humanity say, Rabboni. Wouldn't you be a beautiful thing to hear mankind say, my master? I posted a little bit of that on Facebook this morning. It was not for show, but just what I felt in my heart, because I was so touched by Genesis' picture that I just wanted to share something. And so I shared that thought, so they may come after me and crucify me to death. I don't know. I don't care what they do. It's my voice. So that story, that's what I posted, that today was resurrection morning, and may we all be able to say, I see you in your flesh, but if we're breathing, that's life. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. It's got breath, I mean, sugar's got breath up there. So that's a part of God. And I think he's much more awesome than we give him credit for. The carnal mind just cannot conceive it. There's no way we can hold the beauty of Jesus, the Christ. And I mean Jesus to Christ, not the man. I mean, you said he was a peacemaker. Well, he stirred up a lot of trouble while he was here, because he was tearing down.
So I say he's looking down the road at peace.
Yes. Yes.
But first there has to be
a tearing.
You know how
up.
Things are tearing up. There has
yes.
to be a revolution.
Yes.
They called him the antagonizer or something like that.
Well, he could make havoc.
I think he called it what it was.
Well, yes, he spoke truth. He had right. the strength to speak truth.
People don't like anybody that speaks truth.
Well,
they don't.
Well, that's what I was talking about. People don't.
They don't want to hear
most
the truth.
People, and that's the problem.
That's anybody.
Most people do
you
not.
Hear something that you don't.
You know, I put a lot of this off on the church, but the truth is that most common people do not want to own their own divinity, because then they're liable.
Makes them be accountable. Have to be accountable.
That's the truth.
Well, there's a price to pay.
They want
to
be. They want
to have to consider that price. If you're a serious-minded thinking person, you would consider that price.
What's this going to cost me?
Yes.
Yeah. And not money, but attitudes and lots of things. You know, how to behave. Well, y'all can talk if you want to. I was said what I was going to say, so to speak. I didn't know I was going to say all that. But anyway, the word for resurrection means to stand up again.
Re-erected.
Mm-hmm.
To do again.
As a
prefix. Re.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moral recovery of spiritual truth. Raised to life again, arising again, so we're resurrected every day. Anytime we come into an understanding, that's a type of resurrection. Any person. So.
We have life, but there's more life. You know, that.
Oh, yeah.
Our concept of life is skewed. It's totally in this, the energies of this world. You know, for the most part, that bring us down. It's kind of, you know, life has got to be moving, revolving. It's a moving thing. But the life that we live actually just tends to revolve us downward, earthbound.
Well, like the word.
Rather than the ascending.
Resurrection, revolution.
Resurrection would be suggest ascending.
It keeps on coming back around in your face. Re-evolution.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Re-revolving.
Absolutely. Then I got into the scripture that says, who can stand in the holy place? I don't even know many people that know what the holy place is. They put it off to the tabernacle, not realizing that their holy place is a part of their soul realm, the mind, emotions, will, and desires. And it says in the 24th Psalm, or who shall stand, can take a stand in the holy place. Well, you got to understand what the holy place is first before you can take a stand in it, or function in it, or eat the showbread, or behold things not with a natural eye as they're happening naturally, but looking by the light of the Holy Spirit, which is the candlestick. There's absolutely no light in the holy place except the light of the candlestick. My goodness. So, they're not even looking at what's going on all around in the world at all. They don't care. They're into what's going on inside. What's going on in here. And then they take the altar of incense, which is keeping a sweet spirit, a clean spirit, and lighting that altar of incense, and it's only by prescribed amounts, not something you can just do. It has to be real. The elements within you, within anybody, have to be prescribed amounts, and you break all of that up and put it on the altar. Actually, you take, they do it with a mortar and pestle, do like this to break it up. So there's a dealing with self in that constantly. And then as the beautiful fragrance is released, you take your hand and spread it around. If there's sweetness and beauty, spread it around, I say. Good Lord Jesus, do it.
What, did you see the picture of the Pope? They had a picture of the Pope when he had the incense in that, what do they call it?
Censer.
The censer,
and he's going like that, and I said, if they only, you know, that's just a...
symbolic, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So he did that today.
Yeah. Well, he did that during Holy Week. I don't know when he did that. But.
Well, I know. I just think it's interesting how a lot of what Jesus, the man, said got turned and twisted around with the express intent of robbing humanity from any possibility of divinity, because he plainly said that I can that not robbery to call myself some god.
Yes.
And followed that up by talking about you too. So it's plainly there, but it's been obfuscated.
Oh yes. Well, if you take away the priest or the pastor, you don't have a following. And this is the honest truth. I've never wanted a following. That's never been in my heart. But I've wanted each person to know who they are.
That's what he came to teach people, really, was their own spiritual, their own spiritual embodiment outside of religion.
Yes.
Without religion.
I think that's all encapsulated really in remember he told the good thief, today you will be with me in paradise. I happened to be looking that up to see what others thought of that. How could he say that when he went to hell, you know? But the good thief, you know, he was the one, you know, the bad thief was the one reviling him and saying,
if you're God,
save yourself and save us, you know. And while he was on the cross, all these others passing by him reviled him. Passerbyers reviled him. The elders and the scribes and the priests reviled him. And he's up there on that cross, and even and the bad thief says, "Save yourself, then save us." And then the good thief says, "Well, we did what we did. You know, we know we should be here, but he didn't do anything." And then he says, "Remember me when you go into your kingdom." So I mean, he wasn't baptized first. Think about that. When Jesus told him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So he knew that he had some understanding. Religion. He had some understanding for him to say, think about how, what a thing, an understanding that would be. "Today, remember me when you go into your kingdom. Remember me when you go into your kingdom." How, you know, they all thought he was there for an earthly kingdom. He kept telling them, "No, I'm not there for here for an earthly kingdom. But remember me when you go pass into your kingdom." Like, there was a understanding that this thief had that was beyond what they all could conceive of. And he knew that. So he could say to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Well, we know he didn't pass into paradise as we know it. Well, he already was in paradise, wasn't he?
He had to go through something.
He was already there.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, the Christ, was already there. He didn't leave it.
Well, it's plain. You can just look at the narrative. You know, you look at anything in the Torah or the Talmud, there's no reference to what we call hell. There's Sheol and Gehenna, which is just a trashy, but once it gets into the New Testament, then they have direct, you know, connotations and reflections. Because of the time period, you know, there was a lot of different influences, including Greek, obviously, because a lot of stuff was written in Greek. It was kind of like English back then. So, you had all these different beliefs and influences. So the church made it the way that they did to pander to everybody.
Well, and that it was a literal place, you know, literal place you go to. And that all Jesus really did was he went into the deepest darkness of this earth. A state of being, it wasn't a literal place. It was all these dark areas of this earth, you know what I'm saying? That he changed.
Yes.
Brought his light too.
Well, and that's something that the church has struggled with and gradually lost their grip on over time. You know, the stance that the church takes is that the earth is corrupt and that nature itself is vile. Yeah, they do. Look at how they vilify God's creatures, even the, you know, the poor little snake. I mean, so it's you know, they've set it up this way for you to be against itself.
Yes,
it's
I get you.
You know, it's set up as stumbling blocks of failure for you. Set in sand so it'll sink and you'll drown. Yes. I mean, it's. It was set up like that from the beginning. So no wonder people haven't really got it over the past 2,000 years, including the disciples.
They don't want them to.
Only disciple that got it was Mary.
Well,
I'm going to tell you all that. So much has been implied or said or this was how it was, and this is what was said, and who said it. And I tell you, folks, I don't know. You know, you have to my mind goes to what is real, what really happened, and what was really said, and what is convoluted.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, we don't know. There's no
I mean, you
real.
Could have a conversation with somebody and somebody else over here, and your conversation is totally different 24 hours later, not by their recounting. So.
Yes.
I mean, I think everybody gets hung up on, I mean, certain words, certain things that were said. You know, we don't even know what was said. There was no recorders. There was no secretary there to, you know, take shorthand. We're told different people were at that place. We don't know how close they got. I mean, how close would they let these people get
really
when they're crucifying somebody? It wasn't just Jesus. Them Romans crucified thousands all the time.
Yes.
I mean, you know. And I'm not trying to diminish that part. It's terrible. It's horrible. But I think religion itself gets hung up on certain things and they can't move on with it. I don't know. If you believe that Jesus Christ came here, whether he was born a man, came as through the Spirit of God, or as a man obtained the Spirit of God, no matter how he did it or what he did, he's representative of God on earth.
Yes.
And he was crucified, and through that, the Christian church was established. You know, that's a miracle in itself. Christ never knew anything about Christians. He was a, you know, he was a Jew. We've talked. He was a Jew. He just wanted them, the Jewish faith, to view things differently. They were caught up in their religious, political world.
Yes, they were.
That's all it was, and he wanted to change that. Well, he did somewhat. He didn't change that one too much, but he changed the rest of the world. But guess what? Man has tainted it. I mean, it's, you know, Morgan wants to say, well, the church is, and the religion itself is certain things. Well, he's right. But it's not because if you believe that God's somewhere out there, that he wanted it this way. I don't believe that. I don't believe God has made people do and say things that got us to where we're at. I don't believe it.
No.
I believe man's got us where we're at.
Well, man does what
absolutely.
It wants.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we all believe that. 100%.
We did it to ourselves.
And what happened to Jesus the man? I don't know. I mean, that's, you know. But it, to me, it really don't matter.
No, it doesn't to me either.
He already made his statement, so it doesn't matter what really doesn't matter, like you said, because he had already done what he came to do.
Well, just
period.
The, you know, the whole thing is, I mean, okay, let's say he literally was physically resurrected into another body or whatever you want to call it. Are we going back to Egypt here? I mean, that's what they believe.
Yeah.
Is it necessary for that?
I mean,
he said that, you know, this was not his kingdom.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. I mean, you know, so for me, that's almost like a juxtaposition of, that's not good.
I'm not against religion and church, whatever you want to call it, whatever they call it, assembling. it's like your mother said, where would it be without that today? I mean,
right.
You, even Christ assembled people. They even wasn't in a church.
No.
But they gathered together.
Well, that's, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, when man gets his hand in anything, he corrupts it. I don't care what it is, okay? And I'm not, I'm talking about all mankind, me included and you all included.
Yes, that's true.
When we get our hands in things, it gets corrupted somehow.
Yes. Sure.
Absolutely.
And it goes beyond its original intent. And that.
Well, that's the problem with some of these people that we know. The
whole story of mankind.
Pretty much. That's the problem that, you know, a lot of these folks have, as I was describing, the steps that people go through in to get to the place where they can believe. The problem that you have nowadays is that you have these folks that are like, well, I am, and I'm all there is. And they skip all the other 10 steps and go straight to I believe.
Yeah, that's a scary thing.
Without walking through the rest
ridiculous.
Of it.
Ridiculous.
Oh.
Absolutely. It's like...
Well, you could do that in an instant in time, though. You could go through, just like that thief on the cross.
You can.
Like the thief on the cross did it in an instant in time. You pass through all that.
When you can.
That would be kind of scary.
But...
It won't work.
Through it.
Does it? Is it?
But we don't. We, the ordinary person.
Is it? Does it stick?
Here's a thought. If you really believe that you are all of God, and that's all there is, then you eliminate God.
Really?
What is the need for God? Hey, God, if you are the God.
That's our contention, exactly.
So
that's ego setting himself up to be God.
Yeah.
And what would be the purpose? I mean, I don't get all this stuff. I really don't get a lot of stuff. I guess I let my intellectual mind interfere sometimes.
We do. It's really, really simplistic, actually.
But I mean, within myself, things just don't add up. I mean, they just do not add up. But
that goes back to what
we
Cheryl
said. We can't
see
the forest for the trees because we're looking at the trees. The forest is there.
You know, maybe if you believe in recycling, hell is being recycled. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may be the hell. I don't believe in a burning hell.
No.
You know.
That's all heaven is, a renovated hell to me. I said that one time, somebody went, like it was blasphemy, but that's what I get.
Why do people, and why would a loving God create a human being who he knows is frail and fragile and corrupt and all these things, and then hold over his head his humanness by saying, I'm going to punish your ass if you do what you are supposed to do as a human?
Well, not only that, but Robert, and this is my contention, why would he create a self-sustaining, self-recycling planet for us to reside on? And, it's declared that as it is on earth, so it is in heaven. And then, you know, just have one shots of souls. All right, well, you get one shot. If you don't make it, you go to hell.
I don't believe that.
Come on.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, really, I don't believe that.
I believe. I don't just think because it happened to me. I think experience is so important, and that each man has their own experience. I don't want you to have my experience, and I don't want to have yours. I think each man draws experience.
And you're not supposed to have Jesus's experience either.
No. But for me, Daddy said, you know, how do you know what is said? Well, I don't know exact things that were said, but I do have a witness within me that tells me it's a knowing beyond anything, and nothing could ever change my heart because I had the experience and it was sealed inside of me. Now, everybody may not have that, but that's been my experience, and it totally convinced me of certain things. Now, how it was done and all the little words and the semantics, I don't even care. I don't even care. Like,
well, that, Mary probably didn't. That's my whole point. That's what I was saying. Does it matter?
But
if you want your spiritual being to go to that and believe part of it, or all of it, or none of it, but you want it, you want that, what is symbolism to the church, to be part of you and accept it, regardless of all the words that were said, then it's part of you, and that's all that matters.
It's true.
I can't say the right words to really say what I mean, other than what man has said, what Jesus said on the cross, doesn't really matter. I mean...
Unless that really connects with you.
Well, if
that connects, like the scripture says,
I grant that, yes.
No longer will I put this anywhere but on the tables of man's heart. So I feel like every man's heart has tables.
I'm trying to say here is people not only get hung up on certain words that's been translated 10 times. And can't possibly be translated correctly.
I agree with that.
You know, and base a faith on that with a God that loves every man, human being, yes. Whether he's a Muslim or a whatever he is.
Yes.
And Jesus died for every man on earth.
Yes.
Whether, and it didn't say, well, if you acknowledge it. It said right. He died for every human being.
Yes, it did. I believe
it. All.
All. And if that's translated correctly, I think that means all.
I agree, honey.
Right?
Yes.
So, but, you know, People get churches going on little translations of things that they really, was Jesus a man or was he a God or was he a son of God? He's been all three.
Yeah. Well, that
and he
I
is
agree.
All three, yeah. I guess.
Yes, he is.
But does it matter?
No. Not to me.
If you want to believe that, and you want to believe Jesus did what he said he did, what they said he did, what difference does it make if he was a human being, he was God, or he was Jesus from God, and a son of God? How does God have a son anyway? That's physically impossible.
But it has to be done by spirit.
It's a faith thing.
It is.
It's something that I can't get the word around, okay? But you either accept it or you don't.
Yeah, and the intellects think we're nuts, but if you even get on that rampage, because there's no way that can happen. There's just no way.
The carnal mind is in.
I'm just saying. Against. Okay. God. I'm just saying.
It won't.
You're a scientist, you're,
yes.
You're whoever.
They're too parallel.
Know.
Well, they do not exist.
Architectures. And
this
all
is
that.
The way I look at it.
Okay.
Oh, no.
The God that Jesus worshipped and was talking about had nothing to do with this little Elohim of God.
I agree, honey.
Okay, that the Jews had propped up and were worshiping as a deity.
I agree with you.
Okay, and that was the first thing that he was trying to get across to folks.
Absolutely.
So there's that. So that there's a big departure right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. He was tearing down everything.
To me, and I'm terrible about how I relate things, but to me, God's like the best whiskey in the world. You can drink it straight. You can mix it with water. You can mix it with Coke, Sprite, whatever you want to mix it with. That doesn't change it. It changes the taste a little bit for you personally.
Right.
But it don't change that whiskey.
Whiskey's still
whiskey is still whiskey.
Yes.
Jesus is our whiskey. Oh God, wait till that gets rammed.
That's good. And see, that can be really misunderstood, but I liked how you said it.
I did.
That's just,
God is God.
God's whiskey,
no matter what you think.
Not for the faint hearted.
Well,
okay.
I mean, all you
not for the faint hearted.
All you gotta do to understand that is, you know, if you believe that particular way, he came for the salvation of the Jews initially. Now, he included the Gentiles, but initially it was for the Jews.
Yeah.
He came to change that religion.
Yes, and although he did do that to some degree, what he ended up with was just another religion. Mm-hmm. But what happened to the Jews?
Really, it just kept happening.
Well, Rome came and, you know, scattered them to the four winds.
Mm-hmm.
For how long?
And
okay.
Then Hitler came.
All right. Then Hitler comes. Everybody feels sorry for the Jews, and I agree that that was terrible, and they needed a place.
They're human beings, individuals.
Right. They needed a place to be as a country. Well, what did they do? They named themselves Israel. God ain't done with whipping them. Watch. They are not Israel.
Yes.
They are Judah.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I think we had a good discussion today. I don't know what others are saying.
You have more.